Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you're in for a great time today. It has already started. And God, when He starts, He continues. He never gets to stop. And there's always hope for every one of us. No matter when, where we could in, there's always hope. God is always eager. God didn't make any junk. And He's always eager to bring out the best out of every one of His single children. And you are one of such. Amen. Well, our theme for the family month is living in God's plan and plans and purposes. Living in God's plans and purposes. And today, we're going to be sharing the topic that says, life in the Spirit, the better way to live in God's plans and purposes for your life. Life in the Spirit, the better way to live in God's plans and purposes for your life. Let's say it together. Life in the Spirit. Say after me. Life in the Spirit. The better way to live in God's plans and purposes for my life. Amen. Our text is from Galatians chapter 5, 16, 24, 25, and then verse 17. Galatians chapter 5. 16, 24, 25, and 17. Shall we read it together? Ready, go. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Then verse 17, in AMPC, in Amplified, please. Ready, go. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature, for these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. When you're living life in the Spirit, it is guaranteed that you will fulfill God's plans and purposes for your life. Which means God is the one that is pioneering and propelling your life by His word and by His Spirit. And He said that, the issue we have really is the flesh, the mind, will, and the emotion. That's the problem that we have that hinders us from really living our lives the way that God wants us to live. And that's why He told us in that Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, He said, if you live in the Spirit, which means if you are a child of God and you have the Spirit of Christ in you, it means that Jesus is in you, and if Jesus is in you, you live in the Spirit. Now, if you live in the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, then walk. Everything that you are doing, let it be guided by the Spirit of God. And the Word of God is Spirit. The Spirit of God and the Word of God are always in agreement. And the reason it has to be so for you to really fulfill that God's plans and purposes for your life is because the flesh is always working against the Spirit. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do. If it feels good, do it. This is the way I want it. This is the way I feel. But when you're a child of God, you don't go by the way you feel or the way you think or the way others are doing it. You want to do it because this is what God said to do, because this is what the Word of God covers. Amen? So, and there are basically three major things that God gave us to help us to live this life in the Spirit. And one of them is the Holy Spirit. The other one is His Word. And then Holy Spirit empowerment. He gave us His Spirit when we received Jesus. The Bible said in Romans 8 verse 9b, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to Him. There is no amount of going to church that will ever make you a child of God. Carry the Father's Bible, wear Maria Maka, and don't decorate yourself. That will never make you a child of God. Just like, sleeping in a garage will never make you a car. But if you are a car, you have to be in a garage for protection. So if you're a child of God, you come to church for you to grow and to be all that God has destined for your life. But going to church will not make you a child of God. What really makes you a child of God is that you have received the Spirit of Christ, because it is by that Spirit that you're going to live to be able to fulfill His plans and purposes for your life. Amen? And you know, when you say these things, look, people might think, I already know what she's going to say. I know everything about the Word of God. I've heard about the Word of God. The Holy Spirit. Yes, I know I have the Spirit of Christ in me and all that. But you see, it is important that each time the Word of God is going on, you have to pay attention. I want to plead with you today. Please give attention to the Word of God. Give attention to what the Spirit of Christ is telling us today. That way you will excel and make it in life. You see, you can't cram the Word of God to pass the tests that the enemy puts on your way in your life to fulfill God's plans and purposes for your life. The devil is not going to throw a red carpet for you and say, oh, this is what God wants you to do, okay? Or you're walking it. And then you will just go, no. He's going to make sure he drops things here and there to hinder you, to frustrate you, to make you think that the Word of God is not true, that God is not who He said He is. So, you know, I know when I was in school, you know, when exam comes, I will study, I will cram, and I will tell somebody, we usually tell each other, you know, what did you learn? Okay, you begin to recite. And then this person will recite, say, yeah, you got it. Okay, you missed it here. And then when it's exam, you vomit everything, and they will give you A. But you haven't learned anything at all. I sometimes when I'm discussing with my husband, we say, are you not an economist? And I will just shut my mouth. I say, okay, please, what did they say? Because that era is gone. I can't even remember most of those things I learned at the time. I just simply say it was theory kind of thing. So there was no learning not much really learning took place. But in the Word of God, you see, tests come in our lives. Trial moments, testing moments. It is what you have learned. The Bible says they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. It is what you have learned, what you have known. So when challenges of life come, you know, and then you'll be able to start, you know, to stand the test of time, and you prove the devil wrong, and you bring glory to our Father. Amen? So I plead with you to please pay attention to the Word of God. And that's why in this church, we have different ministries. You know, like this morning, Associate Pastor took us through, you know, how to get married. And then, you know, we have family forum, we have a young adult ministry, we have a youth ministry, we have women's ministry, we have a men's ministry, and so many other areas. Avenues whereby we gather together to keep on, you know, checking out this Word of God, especially as it's related to us. So that when challenges of life come, we will be able to make it. Amen? Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you your inheritance among those who are sanctified. I commend you to the word of God. Why was he saying he will commend us to the word of God? Because when you give your life to Jesus and you have the Spirit of Christ in you, your spirit is changed. You are a brand new person, but your soul is not saved. Your soul is not born again. It's only your spirit that is born again. And the influence of sin will always continue to be there. And the devil knows how to get you to stumble, to miss it here and there. And those things begin to puncture your faith. And those things begin to open the door for the enemy to come into your life to harass you. So that's why Paul said, I commend you to God. And the Bible said in James chapter 1 verse 21, it says, so get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modern spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your heart, contains the power to save your soul. The Word of God contains the power to make your soul to agree with your spirit, so that what God has given you in your spirit, all that pertains to life and godliness that will help you to fulfill His plans and purposes for your life, will now showcase on the outside. That is the experiential part of it, that you yourself can see, and others will also see and will say, wow, to God be the glory for your life. Your soul has to be in agreement. But your soul, where you have mind, will, and emotion, because it's affected by different things that you're seeing, that you're hearing, that you're smelling, kind of tries to say, well, yes, I know this is what the word said, but this is the fact. This is what I'm seeing. This is what the doctor said. This is what my wife is doing. This is what my child is doing. So your soul has to be in agreement with what the word said for you now to experience what the word said on the outside. So, and it is the word of God that will help you to walk in agreement with what God has given you in your spirit. Amen? The Bible told us that God, the word of God said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that if you are not able to feed your own family, say you are worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible said. But God doesn't want any of his children to be worse than an infidel. He himself is not an infidel because he feeds his own. And every time you come here, God is feeding you. Every time we come here, as the word of God is going on, God is feeding every one of us. As you open up the word of God at home, God is feeding you. So, he is not an infidel. He feeds his people. And it is by his word you begin to experience every good thing that he has packaged for you in life. Every good thing that Jesus died to give you. So, I want you to pay attention to the word of God today. Short of every distraction, whether it's coming from you or it's coming from anyone around you, purpose in your heart that today you're going to pay attention. You're going to give heed to the word of God, and I guarantee you that you will be so blessed today. Amen? The Bible said that we are our Father's delight. In Psalm 16 verse 3, it said, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. God, when he brought us into the family, the moment you say yes to Jesus, you become a saint. You become pure. You become holy. You become one of the chosen generation, his royal priesthood, God's holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You are your Father's delight. God delights in you, delights to do you good. Look at the testimony that our beloved brother Felix was giving us this morning. Because God delights in doing good to his children. And he said in Proverbs 13 verse 9, he said, the life of the godly is full of light and joy. The life of the godly, who are the godly? Those who have made Jesus the Lord over their lives. Those who have received the gift of righteousness to reign in life. The Bible says that our lives are full of light and joy. And God is a man, and he's not a man that he should lie. When he says a thing, it's just because that's the truth about it. The Bible said also in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. The way of the righteous, the way of the righteous, the way of those that have made Jesus the Lord over their life, he said, is like the first gleam of dawn. And then the next thing is that, as you keep fellowshipping with the word of God, according to 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, you find out that as you keep beholding and as in the word, like in a mirror, you're being transformed into his very own image from one level of glory to another level of glory to another. You just keep on changing. You find out that the way your life is today, by the time you come next year, you've gone higher. You come next year, you've gone higher. That has been my experience. And I know that that is true of everyone who has been listening to the word of God, cooperating with the word of God. God is faithful to his promises. Amen? The Bible said in Psalm 92:12-15, it said, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. You know a palm tree? Every aspect of a palm tree is very useful. There's no part of palm tree that is not useful. That's the way the life of a child of God is. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, those who have made Jesus the Lord over their lives, they shall be fresh and flourishing to declare, he said, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. God is faithful to his promises. So if you are a child of God, this is the word of the Lord for you. You will flourish like a palm tree. He said, you will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. It has to be in the courts of our God, because in the courts of our God, like you're here today, you're being fed, and then your life will keep on changing from one level of glory to another level of glory. He said, they shall still bear fruit even in old age. There's no old age for a child of God. You are still fruitful even in old age. I know at a certain time at our places of work, they say you retire. But in a child of God does not retire. Rather, you refire. Because you keep glowing from one level of glory to another level of glory. And he said, to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen? The Bible said in Psalm 103 verse 11, it said, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. His mercy, the Bible said that he's great in faithfulness, and his mercy abounds to his own. It says, can you think about the heaven and then the earth? It says, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. That's our God for you. Amen? And no matter what is the situation in your life, he has given you his word, which is the map to guide you, and his spirit, which is your spiritual GPS, to guide you. I don't see anybody who steps out to travel to anywhere and you don't first start looking for your GPS or maybe your map. And the map and the GPS must always have to agree. In the same manner, the word of God, which is the boundaries of God that God gave us to live within, so that we will make it, flourishingly. And our spiritual GPS, the Holy Spirit, they are always in agreement. And even when you miss it, the natural GPS reroutes you. How much more our Heavenly Father? Even we earthly parents, when our children miss it, you want them to get it right. You are praying for them. You are encouraging them. You don't give up on them. You don't back down. You don't back up. God never gives up on any of his children. He wants to, he's all out to make us to flourish, to excel in life, to get to our destination. Amen? We used to sing this song, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to what? Is to follow. We follow our GPS, natural GPS. We should also give time to God. Allow his spirit to guide us. Allow his word to guide us. Amen? Like I said, you cannot cram the word of God. You have to learn the word of God. If you begin to look at this, the Bible made it clear to us that the word of God is quick and powerful, is living and powerful, and it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Many a time, we don't even know that some of the thoughts that we have are wrong. When they point us here, you say, sinner, he hates me, or she did, she doesn't like me. That's why my wife is, that's why my children are, Some of those thoughts can be injected by the enemy. But the word of God will help you to know the thoughts you give into. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true, pure, lovely, if there be any praise and all that, say, think on these things in Philippians 4 verse 8. The word of God will help you to know the thoughts to dwell on, and the thoughts that are coming from the enemy, so that you shut it down, so that you pull it down. The Bible says, casting down imagination and every high thought that exalting itself against the knowledge that you have of God. The word of God will help you to know the thoughts to ponder upon, and the word of God will help you to know the thoughts and the intents of your heart, the motives behind what you're doing, the motives in your interactions, in your relationship with both your spouse and also your children and whoever you're dealing with. Amen? So, God gave us his word. And when the word of God is the light that is guiding your path, there's nothing that can put it out. no matter whatever it is, sin, sickness, poverty, you will always reign on top when you are giving in to the word of God. And Jesus is the word of God. When you're looking unto him, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto what the Bible said about him, there is no amount of darkness that can stop you. Whether it's darkness of poverty, darkness of sickness, darkness of confusion, darkness of whatever it is. So long as you give in to the word of God, at the end, the word will always speak. At the end, the word of God will always come through. Amen? So, there is no situation that is beyond the word of God. So, God gave us his word. And I want us to listen to this. If you look at Mark chapter 4, from verse 11, you find out that it is the will of our Father to help us understand the mysteries of the kingdom. That is, the Father delights in helping us to understand everything he has packaged for us. When we are singing in song that all I require for life, God has given me, and so I know who I am. It is the desire of your Father to help you to understand everything that Jesus Christ died to give you. But you have to choose to pay attention to his word, to get all those things. And a lot has been shared with us since we started this family month. And a lot is being shared from this pulpit ever since January and since the inception of this church. And all of these things are geared towards helping us to understand these things and also to experientially enjoy them. And the Bible said that the sower sows the seed. And he said there are some by the wayside. And who are those by the wayside? It is important that we make effort not to be those by the wayside. Those by the wayside are those, they are casual seekers. They're not really serious with God. They come to church just maybe to socialize, or maybe to make sure that maybe when I die, somebody is going to, I have a lot of people that are going to come, I'm in America, so that they will contribute money so that they can fly me home, or whatever. So people come to church to socialize. They have different reasons. But the word of God will tell you the intent of your heart, the reason, the purpose of your heart for coming to church. Each day you come to church. And they can sit down in the church and then they are fidgeting with their phone all the time. They're not even really part of what is going on. They can go several times to use the restroom. They can go several times to drink water. The Bible says because they're on the wayside, they don't understand what is going on. So the devil comes and steals the word. And the devil gives them thousand and one reasons why they must keep on. He will give them more reason why they need to chat the more. One reason why they must have to look at their phone the more. One more reason why they must have to look at the internet again. And since if they don't look at it while the service is going on, they can't look at it at home. These are casual seekers. And the Bible says, when the word is going on, the devil comes and steals the word because they don't have an understanding of the word. They don't place value on the word of God. So the word of God doesn't really mean anything to them. And you have that in every church. But I pray that we won't have any one of such ones in this church in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are not those by the wayside. Amen. And then they said, I talked about the second one. It said those are the one that is planted on stony heart. The stony heart, those ones, they don't have any root. They have not taken time to meditate on the word. They heard it once. They said, oh yeah, I know it. Oh, that's what the word said. The Bible said by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. They give just mental assent. They don't have any root at all. And the Bible said when the tribulations come, they fall for the word's sake. Because the devil will always raise. The Bible says, when persecution arises for the word's sake, the devil will, I told you, he will not throw red carpet for you. He said, the moment that happens, they get frustrated. They say, this thing doesn't work. And they start trying out other means. This thing doesn't work. But it's simply because you have to give the word of God a chance. You have to allow it to develop roots in you. That's why you have to come again. You study again. Every year, Pastor Victor takes us through this so that if you don't have an understanding of it today, you have an understanding of it tomorrow. So as you keep fellowshipping with it, as you keep hearing the word, the word of God bears, develops root in you. So that when they step on your toes, you're able to say, are you okay? And they'll be wondering, she's not even responding the way I thought. When they slap you on one cheek, you're saying, I'm so sorry. I guess maybe you're hurt. You always make the best contrition of whatever anybody does or says. They don't have root in them. And trials and offenses must always come. The Bible said so. So because they don't have root, any slightest thing, look, my friend, get out of my house. I'm not marrying again. I don't want you again. Or pack out from my house. I'm fed up with this. We don't have to give up on anyone. God doesn't give up on any of his children. And he called us as his children, and we must never give up on anyone. We don't have to thump down on anybody. We have to rather encourage people to stand, because that's what God, the Holy Spirit, is doing for us, encouraging us to stand. Remember the prodigal son. Remember the woman that committed adultery. Jesus did not shame him. Jesus Christ said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. You have to have your root deeply rooted in the word of God for you to be able to know how to accommodate, how to help the other person, how to make the best construction, how to live in love, how to make room for people's mistakes and know that they will finally change. Because if you think about your life years back, you know that where you are today is not where you were then, that you made several mistakes and God didn't give up on you. So we don't have to give up on anybody. Amen? And then we have the third group. He said, these are the ones that are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. He said, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. People that are too busy for the word, they come, but they are too busy to give time to study the word. They are too busy to meditate on the word. God has to be scheduled around their program. It has to be their programs first, their business first, and then any other little time that is left. Okay, let's see how God can fit in here. They put God in a box. So they are sown among the thorns. So you see, they are busy pursuing the secondary things. When the Bible says, seek you first the kingdom and his righteousness, and what will happen? All the other things will be added. When you're busy pursuing some of those things, they will be running away from you. But when you pursue God first, every other thing will be added to you. And that's the order of God. And he wants us to follow his order. Amen? And then we have those that are sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the good ground, those who give attention to the word of God. You have to give attention. In fact, you see, where I sit, because I know that people come in and I'm easily distracted. The moment the word of God is going on, I am busy typing, writing. I get actively engaged so that I'm able to better focus on what is going on, and I'm able to flow with whatever from the beginning till the end. Wherever I go to and somebody is sharing something, I like to put down something. And a lot of times, God has spoken to me or answered one of my questions in some of those meetings. So when you give attention to the word of God, and he said in verse 24, he said, and to you who hear, more will be given. So, and sometimes I look at myself and say, Lord, you've been giving me so much revelation. I thank you. And these things are making me so happy, and they're liberating me from the things that cause worry and anxiety and fretting. And whatever happens in my family, no matter the situation, the word of God gives me an answer as to how to adjust, as to how to respond, as to how to conform. And that way, I keep my peace. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So that nothing punctures my... You see, I gather my joy. I don't let anything happen to it. Because that's my strength. So no matter what happens around me, I choose to tilt toward the worst, because I have been well informed. The Bible says wisdom comes through the mouth of God. I've already seen it. I've already heard it. I've already read it. I've already heard it here. And God gave us some in the church as teachers, pastors, evangelists. They are there to help us to conform to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? So, as you're giving attention to the word of God, and then verse 25 of it said, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Like I said, those who are casual seekers, that's the wayside people. They had the word, they thought they are hearing, and they are busy looking into other things as the word is going on. The devil comes and steals it because he's still roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And he knows that the moment you get a hold of the word of God, you know the truth of the word, you get a revelation of the word of God, you have him nipped on the board. He knows he can't get you. He knows victory is yours. Amen? So you actively get engaged on the word of God. So I encourage you to be among those, each time you come to any of the fellowships, pay attention to the word of God so that you be among those that are bearing 30, 60, and graduate to 100-fold. Amen? So, Jeremiah 29:13 said, that he said, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's what it calls for. If you understand the precious pill that God gave to you, that answers all problems. It is a solution to every human situation. You will guard it jealously. You will study to know him more. You will want to flow in line with the word of God. You will like to follow the guidance of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, while men slept, the enemy comes and sows tares. And they'll be wondering, what is happening to me? Why are these things happening to me? You have to take heed to the word of God. Amen? There's another parable that says the parable of the growing seed in verse 26 of the same Mark chapter 4. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, as, you know, that's like, you know, preaching the incorruptible seed of the word of God. The word of God is being scattered here today. And then he said, verse 27, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. You may not notice anything, but something definitely is happening in your life when you're paying attention to the word of God, when you're giving heed to the word of God. Something definitely is happening. Look at how this man shared with us all the challenges that came in the process of buying this thing. But the word of God helped him to puncture each one of this, you know, the negative one. And today he had victory and he's living in a mansion. Amen? Listen, God wants to give us mansions upon mansions upon mansions in every aspect of our lives. Then we have to give heed to his word of God. As the word of God is going to you, you might never know that something is happening, but definitely something is happening on the inside of you. The Bible, we sing a song that says, you are changing me, you are changing me, Lord, you are changing me, you are changing me, oh, by the power in your word, you are changing me. There's no other way God will change you other than by the word of God and by his Spirit. He said, do not say, he said, let me change the way you think. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the re-educating, by the reprogramming of your mind. That's the only way these changes take place. And then you begin to have beautiful things that God has already lined up for you in Christ Jesus happening to your life. Amen? The Bible said in verse 28, it says, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grain in the head. He said, you have need of patience. See, the word of God is, and that word is scattered, like I said, something is definitely happening. After some time, you see the blade, then you see the head, and then after that, the full grain in the head. Amen? So we need to be patient with the word of God. Don't give up on God. Don't ever think that the word of God does not work. The word of God works till Monday. The Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or tittle of this shall go unfulfilled. The word of God will never return unto him void. When we are sick and we are prescribed some medication, we are patient with the doctors. They say, take this one, 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 2 in the night, and then You take it for 7 days, or you take it for 2 weeks, or maybe take this one every month, or take this one every day. We religiously make sure we do that. At my job, I see people, they spray their medication on the table, and when it is the right time for it, they make sure they take it at that right time. Some of them will say, oh, I haven't taken my medicine, and they are running to take it. Let us take God's medication. His medication is his word. He said he sent his word and he healed us and delivered us from all the destructions of the enemy. Be it financial destruction, matrimonial destruction, emotional destruction, health destruction, job destruction, children destruction, whatever form of destruction. He already sent his word. His word is packaged and delivered to us. And it is desire for us to understand it. And that's why he gave us his spirit, to help us to understand his word. Remember that he formed you in your mother's womb. He said, before I formed you, I knew you. The Bible made us to understand in Psalm 139, verse 2 says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. And then if we look, go down to verse 14, he said, verse 13, he said, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Does your soul really know it very well? This was the word of David. Then we need to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't make any junk. We are not a junk. You are so beautifully made. And there's no duplicate of you. You don't have a second person that is like you. You are just peculiar. That's the way God made you. So, and he said in verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Can you imagine that? Before you were even formed, he saw everything about you. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are also are your thoughts for me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. Amen. Your Father has a plan for your life. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts for good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a beautiful plan for you. And for you to fulfill his plans and his purposes, it is better you stick with the one who formed you in your mother's womb. The one who brought you into the family. And he didn't just bring you into the family. He gave you things to help you to navigate through this life. We are members of the family of God. The moment you ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior, the Bible said, you are therefore no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. You are a saint of God. What makes you a saint is that you have Jesus Christ in you. You have the Holy One in you. You are members of God's family because you've been built on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, 19 and 20, you find that there. Philippians 3, verse 20 made it clear to us that we are citizens of heaven. Say, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are citizens of heaven. Even though we are living here, that is why we must take instruction from where we belong. And that instruction is spelled out in the Word of God, and he gave us his Spirit to help us to interpret the Word of God to us. Amen? We sang it this morning, and in 1 Peter 2, 9, it said, but you are a chosen generation, 1 Peter 2, 9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then he said, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He said, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. We are sojourners. We are just simply passing by here. I used to listen to this song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing by or something like that. This world is not our home. We are just pilgrims here. We are citizens of heaven. We are members of God's household. But you now have to proceed that we might proclaim the praises. We are the chosen generation called forth to show his excellence. And we say, all I required for life God has given me, and I know who I am. We are the chosen generation. We are God's royal priesthood. We are His holy nation. Then we are called for to show His excellence. To show His excellence before our family members, everywhere we find ourselves. The pastor Isaiah, you started telling us that we have to be the light. Because the light of God is in us, and Jesus is in the light of God in us. And if you're walking in the light, you will never walk in the darkness of this world. If you choose to constrain yourself to what the word says, the word of God is light, the word of God is Jesus, then you will never walk in darkness. Think of how dearly the Father loves you. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, He said, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Say, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him." The world will never be able to understand the life of a believer that is really living based on the confines of the Word of God. They won't be able to understand you. But it's important that you understand that you are dearly loved by the Father. Say, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us? That we should be called children of God. He said, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We know that when He is revealed, we say we do not know. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Because sometimes the flesh drags you here and there, and then you begin to wonder, am I still in? You are a child of God because you have the Spirit of Christ in you, not because of your performance. Remember, you are not a child of God because of your performance, but simply because you have believed, you have genuinely committed to Jesus Christ. You have genuinely. And if you have genuinely committed to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is there to you to help you, and the Word of God is there to help you. You find out that if you have His seed in you, the fruit will show the type of seed that is in you. Like our senior pastor was sharing with us on Friday, if you plant mango, the fruit will be mango. If you plant the seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God in you, Jesus Christ, your life will become Christ-like. True to type. Amen? Then he said in verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Why do you have to purify yourself again when He said you are a holy nation, you are a chosen generation? Because we are still living under the influence and power of sin. Even though Jesus Christ has saved us, it is our spirit that is born again. Our soul is not mind, will, and emotion. So sin will still affect you, but you have now received the Spirit of Christ to now say no to sin, to now say no to anything that does not conform to the Word of God. You have the power to say the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to do what? To deny all ungodliness. So that you'll be able to maintain peace, to pursue peace, to live in peace with everyone that is around us. The Bible says righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. In other words, your life every day should be a life of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. As you constantly understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then that gives you peace. No guilt, no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." And then as you keep fellowshipping with the Word of God, and your desire is to live for His glory. Say, and everyone who has this hope in Him does what? Purifies himself just as he is pure. Your spirit is pure, and God wants you to walk out that purity on the outside. To walk out that holiness on the outside too, by the way you live with people, by the way you relate with people, by the way you speak. Everything should convey that holiness in you. And it's a process. As you keep fellowshipping with the Word of God, you find out that you get better and better and better at it. It is the Word of God that changes you, that brings the beauty inside on the outside. God is the one that is building us by His Word. And that is why the Word of God is paramount in you fulfilling that destiny that God has for you. Amen? He said in verse 6, he said, "Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him." Whoever abides in Him does not sin. But of course we know that we fail here and there, don't we? Is there anyone that has gotten it all right perfectly? Nobody. I have not. Amen? But what he's saying is that you have a sin. In your spirit, there's no sin. He said, whoever sin has neither seen him nor know him. The person that is a sinner is the one that has not received Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. The person that is born again is no longer considered a sinner. The Bible says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Because we are dead to sin. Just as Jesus, the death that Jesus died was for you and I. We are dead to sin, which means in our spirit, no sin. He said, we should reckon the fact that we are dead to sin. We are alive unto righteousness. Jesus died to the guilt and condemnation of sin and the imputation of sin. And that's exactly the way we die. So, the influence of sin is still there, and that is why you need the word of God to save your soul, so that you'll be able to bring the beauty inside, the jewel inside. People around you will enjoy it, and not the time that you're living with people, they desire that you travel several, very often. They desire that you leave home very often, because, you know, your life is kind of a pin to them. Because the jewel inside is not showing on the outside. And it is by the word of God that that jewel comes out. Amen? So, he said we should live unto righteousness. We should now live to his glory. And that living to his glory is simply by the word of God. And like I said, you can't cram the word. You have to constantly fellowship, and the word of God will develop roots, and then that word will begin to manifest on the outside. It's a process from one level of glory to another level of glory. And the Bible said in verse 8, it said, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Sin is the work of the devil. Sickness, poverty, whatever it is that is not bringing glory to God, that is bringing frustration, that is, you know, affecting you negatively. It is the work of the devil. And Jesus already destroyed all of them. He destroyed all of them one time. But we have to learn to take charge and not allow those things to push into our lives again. Amen? We have to take our stand by the word of God. It's only by the word of God that you puncture every arrow that the devil throws at you. Only by the word of God. There's no other way. If you think there's any other way, maybe waiting for a man of God that will come and lay hands on you, or come and make come, and then everything will change. You're just wasting your time. You have to know it for yourself. It's an individual race. Nobody will run this race for you. You have to do it for yourself. And that's why we teach our children, so that when they grow up, my mother taught me, and finally we got born again, and here I am now. She's no longer there, but I'm still firing on. Amen? We must understand that we are the sanctuaries of God. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, he said, do you not see and know that your bodies are members, bodily parts of Christ, the Messiah? Am I therefore to take the parts of Christ and make them parts of a prostitute? Never, never. You are God's temple. He said, or do you not know and realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? The two, it is written, shall become one flesh. The Bible says that the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Everywhere you go, you are a carrier of God. He's with you. Jesus is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. You are never alone. I will sing a song. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. In all my journey, Jesus is with me. I am not alone. You have to live in the consciousness of the fact that you are never alone. And it's not just that he's with you, that God the Father is with you, the Holy Spirit is with you, but you have your bodyguard, the angel. He said his goodness and his message accompanies you. How many days? All the days. And God is not a man that he should lie. You have to live in the consciousness of the fact that you are never alone. And if God be for you, nobody can be against you. He said, who is it that will harm you if you become fuller of that which is good? You just simply follow God. You know that you have your back covered, because he will take care of you, like we were singing today. Amen? So, but remember that he's there. So don't defile that place where he is. He said in verse 19, Do you not know that your body is a temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you? It's because some of us don't know that he's there. You think you're all by yourself. You are just by yourself. You are if you're a child of God, you are never by yourself. You drag him into wherever you go. You drag him into whatever you're doing. And that is why he said, you don't have to grieve me. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Whereby that the one that God has given us to keep us until the day of redemption, until the day we receive our purchased possession, our glorified body with which we shall be raptured. You don't have to defile this temple. You have to believe in the consciousness of the fact that you are a carrier of God. And he said, do you not know that your body is a temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? He said, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made his own. You are God's own. You belong to your daddy. If you're a child of God, if you're born again, you belong to God. He's your daddy, and he's a good daddy. And he loves you so intensely. He's so crazy about you. But you may not know it. You can only know it the moment you begin to fellowship with the Word of God. The more I fellowship with the Word of God, the more I'm getting deeper and deeper revelation of how deeply my Father loves me. That's also your portion also, as you begin to fellowship with the Word of God. And that will help you to be relaxed, to be at peace, no matter the issue, no matter the situation. And he said in verse 20, he says, so then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. He said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, I beg you, Paul was saying, I beg you, present your members a holy a sacrifice, holy, that is acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Present your body. Let these your bodies become an instrument of righteousness that God can walk through. He said, when you lay hands on the sick, they recover. When you speak, God honors your word. Whatever you do, your body becomes an instrument of righteousness for his glory. But you have to honor him. Remember that he's there. You are his sanctuary. Amen? He promised us that he will never allow anything that is beyond us to tempt us. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he said, for no temptation, no trial regarding an enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. Which means no matter what comes your way, it is not beyond you. His grace abounds for you to overcome it. You will get over to the other side. Amen? And he said, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and I say beyond your ability and strength or resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear under it patiently. No matter the trial, no matter the challenge, be it in the family, be it no matter what it is, it's not beyond you. You have to settle it in your heart that whatever comes my way, it's not beyond me. And there's a way out. And then, as you're fellowshipping with the Word of God, you are listening in to know the way out. And He will always show you the way out. Because He's faithful. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, remember, in Colossians 3, verse 3, the Bible said that you died and your life is hidden with Christ. So Christ is our life in verse 4. So when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Jesus Christ is your life. So my life is not my own. To you I belong. Is that not what we sing? You must understand that this life is no longer your own. It's no longer your own. It's no longer your own. It belongs to him. And he has plans and purposes for it. And it is only in him that you're able to chew into those plans and purposes. And then you will have joy and fulfillment. And he promised us in Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6, he said, let let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possession, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, he said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and encouragement and confidently and boldly declare, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? You must understand that his promises are yea and amen. His word is yea and amen. I found it yea and amen. His word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. So he said, he gave us his spirit. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 21, he said, it is God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, verse 22, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our heart as the first installment, the guarantee that guarantees everything he has promised. He gave us his spirit, and he said that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, if you read that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the thing that has been freely given to us by God. And these things are explained to us spirit to spirit. The word of God is spirit. So God gave us his spirit to interpret his word. God gave us his spirit to guide us. And the things that we may not even know yet, the Holy Spirit is there to keep on explaining those things to us. He said in verse 26 of John chapter 14, but the comforter, the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you, or bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. He's there to guide us. He's there to teach us. He's there to remind us of even the things that we may not know. He's there to confirm to us what the will of the Father is for our lives. Amen? I want to read this scripture too. So, it says in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 2, 20, 27, says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. What is that anointing? The presence of the Holy Spirit of God in you. Verse 27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it's true, and it's not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. The Holy Spirit is the one that interprets the word of God to you. Even as I'm teaching now, it is what the understanding that you're getting on the inside of you that the Holy Spirit is giving you. And he's in you already. Amen? He is in you already. So you must live in the consciousness of the Father that you are never alone, that you have the Spirit of Christ in you. Amen? I will read one more parable and then we'll be wrapping up. The Bible said in Mark chapter 4, 30, 32, it said, then he said, Mark 4, 30, 32, it said, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? He said, it is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoot out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Amen? That has been our experience in this church. Just a little seed. I don't forget when my husband would come and say, you over there, praise the Lord. You over there, shout hallelujah to empty chairs. And it was just the six of us. And he kept up preaching. preaching the word of God like, you know, never before. And look at all of you here today. Look at all of you here today. I don't forget when somebody gave him a revelation when we were back home in Nigeria and said, I saw you like a big tree, a little seed that was planted, and then the thing grew into a big tree, and I saw birds of the air that came and they perched on you, and they are getting, what is it? They are nesting on you. I didn't know this thing was in the Bible until later on. I began to see this in the Bible. As you know, that's Pastor Chinedu Emmanuel. This is his life, and this is the life of this church. So I want to let you know, as you give room to the word of God and follow the spirit of God, the seed of the word of God will soon grow in you that other people will come and begin to perch and they'll begin to benefit. Your life becomes a blessing, not only to your family, but to all around you. In Jesus' name, shall we all?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.